Hello and welcome to B&D Now, a podcast about independent game development. I'm your host, Tobias Marks, and with me today is Irakli Kokrashvili. Now, you're a game developer from Georgia, the country, yes. Not the state. Yep. So that is very, very interesting. First off, you don't hear a whole lot of game developers from, like, what are you, didn't you say you were one of the first game companies in Georgia?
Yes, actually, we are the first game company from Georgia, and it was very hard to get into the game development world and learn all the stuff we've done so far. Very excited as well.
So your company is called Stormbringer Studios.
Yes, we are Stormbringer Studios. Our motto is Storm is Rising, and this time from Georgia.
Very nice. So when did you start the company?
Well, actually, we started this company 8 months ago, but we have a history. We started 4 years ago as a studio, no-name studio, let's say, like that.
It's just people, you know, getting rather and wanting to make some games.
We got a rather unusual story. We started maybe 10 years ago on forums and different communities as friends who wanted to make games. And we were inexperienced by that time. We were trying to make some games, but by the end it was always coming to the some finances, but we were gaining experience.
So when was the point that you, like, stop your other side jobs and you focus, this is the company I'm doing, this is my full-time job?
So it happened that our government, for some reason, declared that they want to make a game and fund it. And they called for the talented guys who want to work on this industry. And we were gathered like 28 professionals. From artists, programmers, concept artists, animators, to make the game. The only requirement was to make a game about police. So we started like that.
That's pretty good. I mean, 28 people is a large team for indie standards, a country that, like, has not really had an official game development company / team before.
No game development history, nothing at all before that, and this was like, that's why I was too skeptical. I did not believe when I hear that. I did not believe after the months they announced and were seeking for the game developers, because most people here know me, as I said, because I always wanted to make games and I always was communicating and socializing with people who also wanted to make games here in Georgia. So after the months, they invited some consulting people from Ukraine, Stalker developers, game engine developers, and that was the last drop for me. I grabbed my Stalker t-shirt and went to them, that company, and it turned out pretty good. We had our first release in 6 months, and no surprise, it was called Police One.
So our first, what kind of game was it?
It was a shooter game.
Like a first-person shooter?
First-person shooter with some kinds of dialogues and story. They wanted to, from us, the game to be about police, but risk was on us. And we chose the engine. We developed the art, animation, but we were learning on our mistakes. And first game, it reflected in first game, AI was pretty basic, but
we only had 6 months to develop it, so that's still pretty impressive.
Yes. And 6 months to work with together, learn how we most people, we know each other, but there was half of the team was, like, let's say it, foreigners, and we need to get used to each other and work as a team. So it was pretty challenging for us. But also very excited, as I said, because every day we were learning something new. We are communicating with Stalker developers, getting experience, and it was a very good time when I recall them now.
So how did it get received when you released it?
We released it, our government also made some PR, and there was TV interviews, and President thanked us in the parliament for development, for our what we did for IT and in game development, and there was cakes which were made out of our game levels, and
that's really amazing. That's
actually this, and servers, Ministry of Internal Affairs servers crashed. The game was distributed as downloaded, and I never forget this feeling when I first saw DVD of disc which was made by us. I probably will remember this for all my life.
That is amazing to have that, like, so much positive response.
So far that we tracked, there was about 1 million downloads. This is what we actually tracked, but it was then redistributed and copied. Major interest when I analyzed this information, because it was the first Georgian game, such scale. And so most people were interested what these guys have done.
Yeah, is that 1 million worldwide downloads, or most of them from Georgia?
That I'm saying what we actually tracked, what was downloaded within the Georgia and outside the Georgia. But then it was hosted to other sites, and they also get some downloads. And today I have no actual tracking.
Yeah, it's hard to track after a while because it gets mirrored everywhere, and you can't really figure it out. But so what do you think most of your game players were from Georgia, or were you getting a large
at least the first wave was most from Georgia, of course, and then from Russia and the rest of the world.
Very cool. What language was the game in?
Okay, it was in Georgian.
Did you ever translate it to other languages to get more people to be able to play it?
We are not aiming because our government also looking at that these should encourage game development in Georgia. So this was the project we are learning. And we have our second release in 7 months after that.
Oh, yeah. So tell me about the sequel.
It was also not so original. It was called Police 2. But difference was huge in graphics, in AI, in everything. This time we had not only just shooter, we have multiple dialogues with multiple outcome. You can first play the quest level, then you can play the shooter or vice versa. We also had Easter egg level, and it was very decent and modern by that time. We were using UDK. For both games, after that I put download links on different foreign forums, and we get noted by American entrepreneurs, actually, and they were very impressed by our progress from the first part, and there was only 7 months time frame between them.
Yeah, that's a pretty good turnaround time for a brand new studio, for a brand new team. I mean, was it about the same people who were on Police 1 were on Police 2, or did you scale up, scale down?
We may get to edit few artists, and this time I was also reading some graphics programming courses in my in a state university. So I know few talented students there who wanted to work in game development. So we grabbed the five of them, and actually three of them remained and developed as very good game developers, and they are still working in our company. Awesome. And we also had a few artists as well, concept artists and one animator, and most of the team was same.
Very, very cool. So what was the response to Police 2 then? Like, just more people, more download, same stuff? Or?
So this was the game we are proud that we made. It was looking decent. And this brought us, as I said, to the outside of the Georgia at this time. And this was the first time we tested what is to work for foreign companies as game developer. What is we starting doing outsource for other companies, and half of the company we hired to work as outsource. And we did first was the small projects. We did only modeling texturing or animating for Microsoft, by the way, for KIXEYE, and our biggest project we've done so far for Larva Game Studios, Last Day on Earth. We worked on the project a year and a half, 15 people from our studio.
Very cool. So it was nice that you got that initial funding from the government to be able to start your company and get the people together.
And we still get funded when we are working on those outsourced. So half of the people, we are working on the Police 3 and another half on outsourced projects. And we get access to the Unreal Engine 3, and we are developing for Xbox and PS3. And it was a huge experience, and we are so excited. Learned a lot.
I'm kind of curious. I don't know if you don't want to reveal these numbers and all that, but what was a greater sum, the funding that you're getting from the government or the amount of contracts you were doing? Were you, like, making tons more on the contracts, or the contracts not enough?
Pretty equal, because for Police 2, they provided a mock-up studio, pretty decent 24-camera mock-up studio, and we also mastered it and used for Police 2 and Last Day on Earth. This mock-up studio, we brought some consulting from them, Ukraine, and they said they don't have such a good quality mock-up studio there as well. So this was also pretty costly for our government.
Very cool. So you were working on Police 3. Tell me about that one.
We almost finished this game. 90% of the game was done, and it was the another iteration, and we learned a lot, and we mastered shooter genre very much. And from the Last Day on Earth, we also mastered multiplayer, how to make co-op and stuff like that, and we were planning to put multiplayer in that one, but there are some changes happened in our country. Our opposition came to the as government, and most of the projects we have put on hold, including our project.
So it got kind of funding cut, so it's kind of sitting at that 90% done state right now.
Yes. But as I said, we almost 2 years already we're working for the outsource, and then we had this conversation with the whole team, what we are going to do now. And we sat down, and every team member answer was saying, we want to make it. We don't want to go to our jobs we were making 4 years ago. We want to continue and working in this industry. We tasted what it's like, and we wanted to do this for the rest of the life. And I was so excited, and this was the time when we established our company, Stormbreaker Studios.
So, and how long ago was this? About, you said like 8 months ago?
About 8 months ago. And one of the friends in U.S. recommended me to fill a few applications for startup companies like ours. And I filled those applications and forget
like
it.
Accelerators, right?
Startup accelerators. Mm-hmm. And I did not even remember that some of them. And I get to answer that we are on the next stage from the Game Founders. It's Estonian game accelerator, the first European game accelerator, actually. And then we proceeded to the next round. And finally, we are in the batch 3 in finals. And this was the shock for us, because by that time, we released 2 games where we were working for as outsourced. But still, there was the lack of the confidence. We are not ready for the prime time. We are not experienced enough, and we are a bit shy.
Maybe. Yeah, but that turned out not be the case. You guys are definitely ready. At least Game Founders thought so.
We overcome this, and Game Founders helped us a lot. This was the major what we learned in Game Founders. First few weeks, we are very frustrated. We are feeling uncomfortably. Our pitches were horrible. And what we are doing here, why we are here. And when we started our company, we thought like that. Now we are a commercial studio. We need to get raise some funds and have income very quickly. So let's make small mobile games as rest of the world does, because if we make big projects, maybe we won't survive. So we made a few prototypes, and when we arrived at Game Founders, we were pitching those small games, small mobile games. And as I said, we were inexperienced, we were very nervous, we don't know how to pitch, and other teams also have these small mobile games. And then we sit down after the first 2 weeks and start thinking what we are doing. We called back to our team in Georgia, and we had a long conversation, and we decided, no, we are trained to make big, complex games. Let's not make these small games. Three-guy team can make these small game and very quality games, but we can make bigger and complex games, and let's focus on that.
And you didn't just want to make like a small mobile title because you could. You have the ability to go for the big prize.
We didn't abandon this direction, and we are still working on some mobile games, but we formed another division for that. And actually, there's another company. I hope they are almost in the finals in the next batch of the Game Founders. So I wish them luck, and we are also interested, but it's very hard because we have this opportunity to grow as a team who can make these complex games with the modern engines. So I don't want to, and we don't want it to lose this and broke into the several 5-6 people teams who make small games, but we decided to make one game. And it happened that we are mostly experienced in shooters, and we decided to make online shooter. And as we done this before for other companies as outsource, and next our next game, we decided to make it as a shooter. And we start researching markets and thinking about business model.
Very, very cool. So backing up a bit, why don't you talk a bit more about like Game Founders and what it is, as some of the people out there probably haven't heard of it before or not really sure what the accelerator process is like.
Game Founders is the first year accelerator. They have several batches during the year. Every team can apply. And there were teams from US, Latvia. We were first Georgian team, India, Germany, and so on. So basically all over the world. And they have they invest as seed capital maximum 15,000 euros. And for that, they provide the network of the mentors. There are hundreds of mentors from all over the industry. They have very cool seminars almost every day, pitching sessions. Also they bring you in the U.S. In the big offices in Microsoft, Sony, Zynga, Facebook, Google, in a film of Rovio, and so on. And you see all these people, how industry works from inside. You attend demo days in San Francisco, Game Connection in Paris, and all major events which happens while you are in the Game Founders. It lasts 3 months. And
all that in 3 months, that's a pretty whirlwind tour.
Yes, and it's huge experience just seeing these iconic persons from the game industry, and you can just go and talk eye to eye with them, and it's amazing experience. And it was very important for us because we saw that in this industry there's many talented people, but they thought and talk and act like you, and they are not demigods, they are usual people, but very talented people. So this brings us a lot of confidence in our strengths that we can do the same if we keep going and we choose the right direction. So
yeah, game developers are always super friendly, and they're always definitely really good about sharing and talking with other people and helping out new companies.
Yeah, maybe 25 people, and we have same ideas, but rest of the world here, at least until now, it was very hard to talk to someone and they understand why do you choose this industry or why are you making games. If you burn, for example, in the California, in the Silicon Valley, there's maybe 1 kilometer radius, there will be with high probability one game studio. But here we were first, and it's exciting as well, but it's also a bit harder. But right now I'm seeing many other companies, they saw what we are doing when we returned from the game founders. We have several interviews in TVs, and guys from the school, from universities approaching us and ask for advice. And I see few small companies emerging here, and it's very exciting and very important for me and for other guys in our company.
Very, very cool. So it sounds like you definitely thought going with game founders was worth it to you.
Of course, of course. It was very good timing as well, and it was medicine what we needed by that moment. And we understand many things. We had different expectations at first. We were thinking that we need to be professionals, and that's enough. Make cool game, make cool graphics, make cool story, and that's it. The whole world will love it, and everybody will reach millions of players, but this is not the actual case, and it's not how usually it works. You need to know how to PR your game, how to talk to the people, know a lot of people, build your network, and this is what we learned in Game Founders and what they provided.
Yeah, it's all that business side to, you know, game development business.
You need both. So, of course, there are chances that you make cool game, and there are chances that you get noted, but there's also chances to win a lottery, and I think it's almost same.
Yeah, you can't just, you know, put it out there and expect, well, I hope it goes viral. You have to make it happen.
It's the biggest nightmare of the game developer that you can make quality game. You potentially can reach millions of users, but only 15 or 20 your friends will notice when you release it.
Yeah, definitely. So, like, what do you think is the biggest lesson you learned out of all of that trip and talking to people? Like, what perception did you have, or I don't know, like, what was your biggest lesson learned in the 3 months?
To sum it up, connect. This is the biggest lesson for me, and this is what I'm doing now, and I'm loving it, actually. There's no excuse for game developers not to start promoting your game from the day one. Okay, let's first do game, let's first do prototype, and later maybe in the last 2 weeks we start promoting. No way. You need to start promoting your game from day one, and every day, spend every day and have dedicated person who is doing this. So this is also very, very important. If you want to sell game, if it's your hobby or you are doing for yourself, then it's okay. You can do whatever you like.
Yeah, I mean, but that defines the difference between a hobbyist developer and that serious company. Very, very cool. So now you're working on Steamaria, which is the multiplayer shooter you mentioned.
Steamaria is the game that we came out with this concept and idea while we were in the Game Founders. So Steamaria is the steampunk world, and it's an online free-to-play shooter. And we choose this genre because we are mostly making shooters in the past, and we know very well how to, and we've done this everything in the past. And we choose steampunk setting because when we researched the market, there was too many realistic shooters, and also artists, when we said let's make steampunk shooter, artists get very excited because it's also did not limit their ability to make different things. For example, if you're making a realistic weapon, you need to follow some blueprints and make this weapon look like it should look. But
yeah, you get some artistic license with steampunk. Yeah, you can put fancy bells and whistles on it, literally.
Yes, and in steampunk there are so many directions and so many different things. You can make any weapon look like steampunk and add many, and the artists get excited, we get excited, and we started building and thinking about this world, and everything fits so well. So, okay, let's make steampunk online shooter. But we starting this time, we started not from the story, not from the world describing, but first we made a business model. And okay, we did some research, we listened to the seminars, and free-to-play was very popular, and it's very popular today. Okay, let's make free-to-play games. We are the startup. Nobody knows yet about us. So we need to attract as many users as possible. And we chose the free-to-play for that reason. Also, we thought what platforms or what hardware we can support. And I get noticed that Oculus Rift was very popular and it's gaining its momentum. And I said, let's try it. And we ordered the dev kit. And I was very skeptical when it arrived because we saw these kind of devices almost every year. And there was a VFX one maybe 15 years ago, and they were not so effective. And I thought, yeah, it's another iteration, but let's give it a try. When DevKit arrived, I wear it almost for 2 days. And I was, oh my God, this is the next big thing. We definitely need to support it.
Yeah, I was like totally, whatever. That'll be cool, but I don't need one. And I tried one on, and it makes all the difference.
Yeah, maybe we're in baby state for the moment, but I am seeing articles coming all over the world, and some of I have many friends already in game world, and when I ask them, they are like saying some rumors that many big game companies are researching VR, and maybe it won't be Oculus, but it definitely VR is the way to go. I'm pro VR. Definitely for now, and I'm supporting it. And we brought Oculus in the Game Connection Paris, and maybe there was 900 persons. I stopped counting them that came, and I saw the people's reaction on them, and it was so much fun and so much entertainment. So definitely, people will love it.
So how much extra work was it to support VR? So,
second decision, we will going to support Oculus Rift. Then we thought, let's make allow players to make money in our game. And why not? We thought, if player plays well, we will allow to earn them money. So in our game, if player reaches at higher levels, let's say 40 level, he or she can challenge another player with same level, and they agree on the weapons, they agree on the armor, they agree on the arena, they have several iterations, fight with each other, and the winner will get all the money. And we saw the cash play 2 weeks ago, and Apple agreed, and they get green-lighted, and the Gamma Sutra called it the historic decision. So I guess we choose the right direction with that as well. So I'm seeing, or it's my vision, that more and more games, right now they are the more mobile games, but in the future there will be more games on PC as well to support this business model and this kind of monetization.
Yeah, that kind of it's not really. I don't want to say gambling because it has a lot of other legal implications, but that kind of betting and winning system, players seem to like a lot because they feel like they're gaining out of it, even though you're going to be taking a percentage of every transaction.
It's not quite gambling, because if you play well, you can also earn some money. And why not do this? And we also learned that we are a startup. We need to experiment with stuff like that. We have nothing to lose. We don't have some franchise, and we don't have to release another version of some game. So we can experiment with stuff like that. And when we talked to the mentors and first time, and when we explained what we are going to do, there was like maybe 5 minutes, 3 minutes pause, and we absolutely love it. So I believe this is the way to go and the way to try.
Yeah, it's very interesting. So are you also going to be like selling weapons and coins and stuff in game, the traditional freemium stuff?
It's very important in our game. We will sell in-game items. We will send weapons, customizations, badges, sigils, and stuff like that. But in our game, it will be pay to win. It will be a fair play game. So all these customizations won't affect the game balance.
Yeah, so it's all, you know, cosmetic changes or, you know, maybe leveling faster or something like that.
Yes, we have very talented artists, so we can produce very quality assets. So we will, this is one of our strengths, our studio strengths. So we will use this. We will produce as many items, as many customizations as possible. We can also offer player, for example, dedicated armor that only this player will have. He can send us, and of course it will be costly, but only this player will have this armor set or this kind of weapon, customized weapon.
That's very cool, having like a unique weapon that you pay extra for. How much would like a unique weapon cost, like $100 or more?
Do some research, and we also learned how to launch games. So maybe we first launch this game in Asia, then in Russia, and then in the rest of the world. So when we analyze the information from one country and one soft launch, then we adjust, make some patches and changes and updates, and release in another world, in another.
That's a good way to do it, to kind of experiment and see what works. So going back a little bit, like, how hard was it to support VR and the Oculus Rift in the UDK?
Oh, well, it's very well supported by Unreal Engine. It's direct integration. Unreal Engine 3, 4, and Unity supports it. In Unity, it's like Snap. You just put one component, and it's very easy to support. And, of course, it needs some adjustments, some optimizations, and make it work for specific needs of your game, but it's a very fun experience, and we hope that next iteration, I want to put my and try this dev kit 2 when it will be available, because from the press releases, people say that it's huge difference between the first dev kit and second dev kit. And
yeah, it's a lot higher resolution. That makes a huge difference.
Higher resolution, head tracking, and many small adjustments in firmware and many other stuff make it look very cool, way cooler. But we are very happy with the first iteration as well, so I can imagine what it will be.
So when supporting the Oculus Rift, do you have to change any of the design of the game or any of the structure, or do you kind of still make it how you would?
Yes, so it's a first-person shooter, and we are still experimenting with the controls, because there are several control schemes, and we need to do some research, which is the best. For the moment, it's a PC game, and we need to make better configuration how to make it work with keyboard and mouse. But in future, I hope when it will be widespread and VR will be everywhere, we have different control schemes and get rid of this ancient mouse and keyboard. Because it kills a bit immersion when you are putting this device, you are in different world, you are experiencing a lot of stuff, but you still have to use mouse, keyboard, or maybe even joystick to control your avatar.
Yeah, you experience this world by twiddling your fingers, and you're starting to get a weird disconnect at that point.
Yes, you see the hair. Mm-hmm.
Very, very cool.
The science fiction movie, Her.
No, I haven't seen it yet.
They're using control like that with the fingers, and there's very cool AI operating system, and it's a very cool movie.
I'll have to check it out. It came out recently, right?
Yeah.
I've been going to the theater, so I've been like out of the loop.
Mm-hmm.
So how long have you been? You've been in Sumeria for about 8 months now, right?
Yes.
So how much more does it need until it's going to be released, so that first version comes out?
We are working it by hour, and we are also trying to find other projects to make studio run, and also helping local communities. And we are looking for investor for the moment to make it happen faster. So if we get enough investment, and in Georgia, game development and everything is way, way lower than in the rest of the country. So we need about 500,000 euros to make this game online, release on Steam, with all the stuff I've talked to. And in this case, we need 1 year, but without investment, it may take longer.
How many people are you planning to have work on it?
We have right now 15 people working in studio, but as I said, if we get enough investment, we can grow to 25, and in 6 months, I can double number of those people. We have a team of 15 working on that game.
So tell me about what other projects you're working on right now as you're looking for investors.
We are working on we are experimenting on this. We also are going to make one Oculus Rift demo. I do not want to disclose, but I promise you, whoever sees this demo never forgets and tells the friend, check this out. It's not pretty demo. It will creep some people out, but still, it will be very cool and high quality demo.
Creep me out. I like that idea. Horror games with the Rift is a very good combo.
Yeah, we are experimenting with binaural sounds and with combination of Oculus Rift. This will be a very, very creepy experience.
Very cool. I also know that you just started a Georgian chapter of the IGDA.
Yes. 2 weeks ago, 2 weeks after when we arrived here, I was meet my friends. We were talking, and it came like, bam, why don't we have the GDA in Georgia? So let's establish it. And I get back to the game founders and ask them what we need to establish the chapter. And they introduced me with the Kate, head of the GDA, World GDA. So she told me what we need to qualify for it. We get the 10 people registered for it and fulfilled all requirements. And actually, yesterday I received a letter from one of the founders of the game founder, and she met Kate in the London, and she said that we are the bright example of the chapter who is emerging in the country. So I guess we are doing pretty well in that direction. And we are going to have first game jam, and our government supports us and our universities as well in the February 15th. And after that, in March, we are going to have Innovations Week and another game jam. So many, many good processes are starting here in terms of game development, and I expect that this region has a lot of potential in that direction, and you'll see soon many good games and quality games came out from Georgia.
Yeah, I mean, once you have that good example of, oh, hey, there is a company and they are doing this, it kind of gives permission in a sense for other people to say, hey, yes, I can develop games too. It's not a waste of my time.
I spend a lot of time to telling people what we are doing, but still there's many, many people who have no idea that there are companies in Georgia who are doing pretty decent and quality games, and know some people and have some connections and working on that. So this spreading the world and getting the good media coverage is another reason we are making this game jam. And also all these people will come and get used to this format and know each other, and this is what we are aiming for.
How many people do you plan to have attend to the game jam?
We announced 2 days ago, and about 150 people already said that they will come, and it's just we announced
150. That's going to be a very big jam.
No, 150. 2 days ago, but we did not start promoting it very actively. So we will start going to each university here and saying and spreading the world. So I did not expect too many people for the first game jam, but we want to make it as bright and bring some show elements. So and also government promised and other TVs and internet sites that they will cover this event and spread the world. So this is the first message we want to bring the rest of the Georgian developers and the people who want to make games that we exist.
Very cool. So you've had quite a journey in the last few years. Is it going from like they're not having any companies at all doing this to pioneering and making an IGDA chapter, you know, doing these games? If you had a time machine, you could go back in time, what would you tell yourself 2 years ago? Like, would you say to them? Would you give advice? Would you tell yourself not to worry, you're doing the right direction? Would you say, oh my God, don't do this again?
Actually, I think we did pretty well, and I have very, very many good moments and memories what we've done. I would not change much.
No, you're pretty happy with everything you did. That's pretty good. It's good to have no regrets. You know, like you learned stuff, you did stuff.
As I said, 5 years ago, I never imagined that our government will announce that they will fund game project, they will buy mockup studio and provide everything they did. 2 years ago, I never imagined that I will meet Epic's vice president and I get access to the technologies that are beyond my imagination. I could not imagine that I meet Robin Hanekel and talk to her and get inspired by her. So it's like living in a dream.
Very, very cool. I'm very, very excited. Stormbreeder Studios sounds awesome. I can't wait to play Steamaria or your other projects once they come out.
Actually, yesterday I received email from the Casual Connect Amsterdam event, and Steamaria get qualified, and they provided a place and two people ticket so we can go there and present and promote our game.
Very cool. That should be exciting. Yes. Show it off and hopefully find some more investors to finish it up.
Yeah. And we also maybe get some prizes as Indie Prize Award.
Very cool. Very, very cool. Mm-hmm. So I like to end every show by talking about not just the games we've been making lately, but what have we been playing? So what kind of games have you been playing last few weeks?
Last few weeks, I always wanted to play Dishonored, and I played it from start to beginning as stealth action. I get a little bit time, so, and all DLCs, and I love this game very much. And The Brothers, the Tale of Two Brothers.
Oh,
so,
man, I love Brothers so much. That game is beautiful.
I start thinking making something like that as well, because this is bright example how can you make with good story, with good settings, with good graphics, and it's amazing experience as well.
Yeah, no, that ending to Brothers is, I won't spoil it, but it's pretty amazing. It does things with games I didn't know that you could do.
PS3, I start playing Beyond Two Souls, so I am in the middle of it.
Very, very cool. For me, I've been kind of running around and haven't had a chance to sit down with a lot of video games lately, but I have been playing a lot more board games. I've been over the weekend, I played a bunch of new ones with more friends. So I've been trying out Red Dragon Inn, which is based on the Dragonlance world. It's like a game where you're at a tavern drinking, and it was okay. It wasn't, you know, my favorite card game, but it was still an interesting kind of game, slightly different than the ones I played before. And I also will admit that I've been playing the My Little Pony collectible card game. And one thing I will appreciate about it is that most card games I see, they're just a clone of Magic the Gathering. You know, it's just like a creature attack. But
also was Pioneer Terraria, and taught many friends how to play it. And now I'm proud to see that they love it, and sometimes they already play it online or physically with physical cards.
Yeah, Magic is amazing. Like it's been so prevalent, and so many other card games are based off it because it's just the gold standard of games. It's still popular. People are still playing it. It's still interesting. So what I appreciate about the My Little Pony game is that it wasn't a Magic clone. It actually had a completely different game mechanics, and so many new card games I see are basically, well, it's Magic the Gathering, but we do this one thing different. So I appreciated seeing something completely different in its design.
I will definitely check this out just to see how its mechanics work.
Yeah, I mean, I love checking out, you know, just board games, card games, as well as digital games, because you can learn about design for all of them and what makes a good play experience and how to understand rules, especially.
Most games, core mechanics on behind the scenes is the same comes from the board games, and it works. Mathematics and everything and probabilities are same. It just most games are direct copy of them. So.
Yeah, and from a tutorial point of view, if you study board game manuals, because a lot of them are actually horribly written, but if you know, good ones are really shining examples on how to teach, because it's really hard to teach someone how to play a board game when they don't know anything about the game, and you can't show them anything. You can't do anything for them or tell them you're doing it wrong. So where can we find more about your company, Stormbreeder Studios?
I learned from game founders that we need to make a hustle and reach as many sites and write blogs and promote your game. So this is what we are doing now, and we have some blog entries. So actually, before this interview, I finished the article that already some journalists coming to me from different sites and asking for the interviews and interviews or some articles. So I'm just finished, as I said, reading one of the articles. I proposed, I have several articles. Can you choose from them? No, you need to write new one. And this was very cool as well for me.
That's very cool. Definitely good to get expressed. Where can we find those articles? What's the URL?
I have some blog entries on the Gamma Sutra, and now I am writing for what's called Game Source.
Okay, I'll make sure I get a link in the show notes for people to find that as well. You can also fan you on Facebook, right? Facebook.com/StormbreederStudio.
GDB and several other sites on Google Plus or. Mostly everywhere we have a YouTube channel and so on.
You have a Twitter?
Definitely.
Plug your Twitter.
Okay.
What's your Twitter handle?
Stormbree. I'm registered on so many sites. I also, as the IGDA leader, I have several same for the IGDA and several other entries, and I'm getting lost. How many sites?
You got to get your name out there, right? You got to have every way people want to communicate with you.
Yes. So I have this list written in the document and have in several places. So I may not remember all these handles and URLs and stuff like that.
Well, all the links will be in the show notes for the show, which you can find at beindienow.com. You go there, you can find this episode, past episodes, notes, links, all that stuff. If you want to email the show, it's show@beindienow. If you have any comments or feedback or you want to be a guest in the future, if you want to find more about me, you can go to my blog, tobiamarks.com, where I have hopefully interesting articles, resources that any developers might find useful, or you could just follow me on Twitter at tobiamarks. Thank you so much, for being on the show and talking to us about your game and your studio.
Thank you, Tobias. It was great to talk to you, and this also was great experience to talk to you in personal when we were in Mountain View. So I hope we'll meet in future on some different game events, and we can continue this talk there.
I hope so too. Everyone else out there, go out and make some games.
Definitely. Thank you.